Well, God bless you guys, and it's a blessing to be able to share the word with you and just to be together, even though we're not physically together. It sure blesses us to hear your voices and be able to hear you guys teach the word too and be able to share our hearts with you. And it's just, it's amazing to me how God just knit our hearts together through the years. And that verse in Colossians talks about our hearts being knit together in love. And when you knit something together, it doesn't come apart unless you cut it. And God's done the knitting, and there's nothing that can cut that. But that's not what I'm teaching about. But I just, it was on my heart to tell you guys how much we love you, and we do miss you, but we know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Right, Barn?
Absolutely.
No, we are. I'm just kidding. Okay, my teaching tonight's called, What Are Your Expectations? I've been looking at the word expectation, and I have started to see what an important part our expectations play in receiving what God has promised us from His Word. Now, the word expectation is used 33 times in the Bible. It is used in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the church epistles. For the most part, the usage of this word is mostly with an expectation that something good is about to happen. And there are a few spots in the New Testament where there's an indication that their expectations that are being talked about in those scriptures were not for what was good, but what was good. But very few of the usages surrounding this word expectation has anything negative about it. It's mainly very positive. And also, the word expectation is a synonym of the word hope. Now, when I talk about the hope tonight, I'm not talking about the hope of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm just talking about the word hope. And the word hope is defined as an expectation or a looking forward to something that is going to occur or could occur. But when you get to the Greek words of expectation, there are three different ways this word can be used in the Greek. And we're going to concentrate tonight on a couple of verses from just the New Testament, from the church epistles. I'm not good about Greek pronunciation, but there are three different Greek words. One is with the expectation that something might happen, or looking forward to an event that you might go to. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it, that type of expectation. Another type of expectation, meaning is, in the Greek, is that something will probably happen, so one takes some actions in preparing for it to happen when it might happen, which is a little bit stronger of an expectation in our thinking and in our believing, because we take some kind of action. Where the other one, the first one I talked about in the Greek, is just thinking about it, looking forward to it, maybe, perhaps. But the third usage is absolutely going to happen. And our expectation is based upon the thing, person, or event that we're drawn to. So for us as believers, our expectations should be focused and based on God and the promises from His Word. Now, let me ask you something. When you just hanging out with people or something, have you ever had a conversation with someone that goes somewhat like this? You know, I've been trying to make a decision about what my job should do, what I should do. Should I quit? Should I not? I mean, I don't know. I don't like it, but it pays really well. And I don't know. I guess I could find another job. And the response from the person you're talking to looks at you and says, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, you know what? As God's kids, we're not supposed to be looking for the worst thing that could happen. We're supposed to be looking for the best thing that can happen, for the promise of God to be amen in our life. Because we know we serve a faithful God, right? And God's promises, He always will keep those promises if we stay locked in with Him and allow Him to continue to direct our path. And as God's children,
our hearts should be locked in with Him. Our words, our heart, our intentions should always be based upon the promises of the Word. And when we do that, we see great signs, miracles, and wonders happen in our lives. Now, this word expectation is tied directly and can directly affect our believing. Because if we're confessing or looking at, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What if that happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, maybe God's not telling me that. Well, if we get caught up in that kind of spinning wheel, we're going to spin right out of control. And our faith or our believing goes down the tube. Our confidence, not only in God, but in our ability to believe God, can go down the tube. And we don't want to allow ourselves to be manipulated by those kind of circumstances or situations. Now I want to go to Acts 27, and I want to show you an example of a man who stayed focused and who expected God to do what God said he was going to do. And this is when Paul was put on that ship to Rome. Now he was on that trip he didn't have any choice about. And the great storm came upon them. And we're going to start Acts 27, verse 18. And I want you to just really listen to the words and try to place yourself in that situation. And you're Paul. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, this was a horrible, horrible storm, as you can tell. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, which basically means they had big waves crashing down upon them, all hope, and that word hope, synonym, expectation, that we would be saved was finally given up. This is where the men's heads were on this ship that Paul was on. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." He was bold because he knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God and that God was with him. Verse 22, "And now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." Now, look at that verse. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve." That's you and me, too. We belong to God. We are His kids. We are His masterpieces. And we have His power and authority and ability working for us, in us, and with us, when we stay locked into Him and we realize who we are in Christ. So Paul's pretty brave here because everybody else has decided they're going to die. But Paul stands up and he says in verse 24, "Do not be afraid." He knew exactly. God showed him the fear these men were feeling. So Paul ministers at the same time to these guys. "Do not be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all who sail with you." This is what Paul says the angel said to him. And in this verse right here, you can see that God really attacks the fear that these men are having. And yet, Paul didn't have any fear. God said, "Don't be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you." And the angel's telling them, "Don't be afraid, and tell these guys that all of them are not going to drown. They're going to be with you, and you'll all lose nothing but the ship. No life will be lost. Therefore," this is Paul talking to the men now, "therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Paul never lost sight of who he was or the promise that God had made to him. One man, a whole ship full of men, one man stood on the promise of God and saved the whole ship. What a great honor to God and the promises that God made him. Paul was an exceptional man of God, but you know what? That same spirit that lives in Paul lives in me and you. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I'm hoping that this will encourage you to take a deeper look at that word expectation on your own, because there is so much in there. I had a hard time thinking, what can I share in this amount of time? But I just picked out some of the stuff that I thought would really touch your heart and maybe motivate you to look at that word too and see what you could learn from it and share on it maybe. Ephesians 2, chapter 11. I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, that's us, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's where we were at one time in our life. That's where Paul was. That's where every born-again believer starts out, in that state. But, there's that word in verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's where we are now. We are God's kids. We are the people that he loves. I mean, if you've heard some of the manifestations recently, how much he loves us, he tells us in every manifestation pretty much, and how much he desires to have that fellowship with us, that one-on-one fellowship with us. And to have that intimate relationship with God builds our expectations in our own hearts that, you know what, we can trust God. And his word is true. And I don't care what's going on around me in this world. I don't even care that, you know what, sometimes I feel like I don't believe big enough. Because all of that is a lie. The truth is, I can look to God and expect the promises that he gave me. And the more I expect it, the more my believing grows and gets stronger. You know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So when I speak the word of God to myself or someone else speaks it to me, it causes a growth in my faith. It causes a growth in my spiritual heart. And then it isn't so hard to keep my expectations up there where God tells me they should be. And remember, our expectations begin with what we're thinking. Because whatever ends up coming out of our mouths and our behavior starts with a thought. So our thoughts, Our thoughts and expectations should dwell in the promises of God's word. That's how we're going to receive all those promises. Go to Romans chapter 15. And I'm using the New King James Version tonight if it looks a little different than what you have. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope, the God of expectation, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That is one of the reasons we need to stay joyful and peaceful, because part of that has to do with our believing, our ability to stay locked in no matter what the circumstances may look like, no matter what somebody may say to you or not say to you. Our expectation, our hope, our joy, our peace is in believing God and trusting him and knowing that he is a faithful God. And it says, I'll read that again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound. Now look at that. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's Spirit lives within us. It is God and Christ in each one of us. And as we begin to grow day by day, we still grow. We grow spiritually. We grow faithfully. I mean, we develop to a different I don't know what to call it, place than where I was last year, I think. No, I know I have, because I know myself. And I know how much more comfortable and easy it is for me to believe sometimes in some of the worst situations. But that is because we lock our thoughts, our hearts, our minds on our God and on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who dwells and lives within us. And I think for our expectations to be able to be in that firm state, the one that we're, you know it's going to happen. It's like the return of Christ. There's no doubt in my heart that's going to happen. I look for that every day. I thank God that today could be the day. And you know what? It is the truth. Today could be the day. And that is an expectation that we know is going to happen. There's no one that's going to talk us out of that. So that is what I wanted to share tonight and encourage you to, you know, really take a look at this word expectation. There's so much more in there than what I share tonight that is really very uplifting and encouraging, especially when things are going on around us in this world that are going on around us. Because it's not getting better. But God's expectation in us is that we shine as the lights of this world. Because greater is He that is in us than is in this world. And thank God that we can be who He's called us to be. Father, we're so thankful for Your love for us. We're so thankful that Your encouraging and Your determination to continue to build us up, Father, and to work with us where we're at and to get us to where You want us to be so that we can walk the calling You've called us to walk, that we can do those things that You've called us to do. First and foremost, to bless You and praise You and honor You and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to love each other and to bless each other and to be there for one another no matter what the circumstances are. That's a great expectation that we can have as we grow together in the body of Christ. So we're so thankful to You, God, for each other and for Your love and for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen.